in general, proteins are, again, directionally or generally, they're harder to digest than many other macronutrients that we take in, right? Like carbohydrates and sugars. So even some of the animal-based ones you'll find, like dairy. So I personally was somebody that had an issue with a lot of dairy. If I eat a lot of dairy, I don't have a serious allergic problem, like I'm not anaphylactic to it, but it definitely creates more mucus, more congestion, and for me, more bloating and so forth. And that was really one of the reasons why we discovered or created Plant Fusion. One, as a user, because I would like to say, you know, I was one of those people that wanted to supplement my diet with protein. I wanted to, whey did not settle with me well, probably like some of the other plant proteins that you've used did not settle with you. And soy wasn't an option for the reasons we already discussed. So the question became, how do we get a well-rounded, complete protein that can give a complete spectrum of amino acids and mitigate some of those digestive issues?
I've not truly endorsed plant-based proteins in the past due to multiple reasons, but one thing is sometimes it didn't agree with me, sometimes there were other reasons, but we have Phil with us today from Plant Fusion that is going to put a new angle on this. Welcome, Phil, to Nutrition World Podcast.
Thank you very much, Ed. It's really great to be here, and hope I can add some value to your listeners and to everybody's education about plant-based protein as an alternative.
Yes, and there were some weaknesses in most plant-based proteins that I feel after talking to you a couple days ago and looking at your product again when we were at the convention down in Florida a few months ago, that we are confident, and I'm confident that I could recommend this product for a lifter, an athlete, an older person, a younger person, almost anyone, because the weaknesses I have always found in plant-based proteins to convert to a usable protein, build muscle, do all the things we want. It sounds like you have determined how to overcome that. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, that is, Ed. And I think that, you know, we look at it and don't say, I think like you do in your nutrition practice and as you work with clients and your patients that comes in your store, we try to take position of this is better than that. But we also know that you have many different types of consumers coming into your business and your store, and they have different lifestyles. And it's not always a one size fits all. What might work really well for you may not work well for me or vice versa. And so to your point, one of the biggest things we looked at as we were developing Plant Fusion many years ago was the fact that not everybody, I mean, whey protein is a great source of whey protein. Even caseinates and other animal-based proteins, meat, chicken, et cetera, those are great sources of protein. We're not, as a plant protein advocate, we're not anti those. We're just say, hey, there's some other options out there that when you look at a myriad of social issues, could be religious issues, could be allergies, et cetera, there's a host of reasons why many people can get the benefits of a great, well-balanced, well-rounded, what I'll call well-rounded, I'll use the term complete protein, that if they can't take an animal protein for one reason or another. So that's sort of the premise of it. And I can go into more details of just, you know, give you specifically of what we thought about when we started to develop the product and what our sort of thesis or theory is behind it and why we did what we did.
Well, one of the issues with myself is lack of digestibility. So I think there's about three issues why I don't choose plant proteins, but I will now as an add-on option to my whey protein in the future. So when I do plant proteins, and some people are perfectly fine and some people have sensitivities, I tend to feel it not digesting as well as I would like. I kind of sometimes feel bloated. A little bit of gnawing sensation. I'm not super sensitive, but I'm modestly sensitive. And so I just kind of gave up on it. But with your product, I seem to do much better. Why is that?
Well, I think there are a couple different things. It's hard to know for sure what proteins you were taking and what was causing that. But obviously one of the original, I'll call it plant proteins, although I didn't use the term back in the day, and you've been in the industry for a while, so you're familiar with it, which is soy. And soy itself is a very gassy, although it is plant-based by definition, it's also tends to be, it's a common allergen. It's why you find it listed on foods and other supplements where it's there. We have to disclose that as part of an FDA reg because so many people have an allergy to it. And so if you had taken anything, let's say, for instance, with soy in it, that's one reason why it gets very gassy and bloaty. And I actually had that same problem myself years ago when I would take soy protein. I grew up in a health food store back in the 70s and 80s. So I was very acclimated and used to soy and tofu and products like that that were non-animal based sources of protein, even independent of supplementing with your diet with it. And so I think that one of the issues is that soy, although it's characterized as that, and besides other estrogenic concerns and issues that people have as a phytoestrogen, the issue is that is a hard one specifically to digest. So that's one mm-hmm. issue that may have come up. Another issue is that in general, proteins are again, directionally or generally, they're harder to digest than many other macronutrients that we take in, right? Like carbohydrates and sugars. So even some of the animal-based ones you'll find, like dairy. So I personally was somebody that had an issue with a lot of dairy. If I eat a lot of dairy, I don't have a serious allergic problem. Like I'm not anaphylactic to it, but it definitely creates more mucus, more congestion, and for me, more bloating and so forth. And that was really one of the reasons why we discovered or created Plant Fusion. One, as a user, because I would like to say, you know, I was one of those people that wanted to supplement my diet protein. I wanted whey did not settle with me well, probably like some of the other plant proteins that you've used did not settle with you. And soy wasn't an option for the reasons we already discussed. So the question became, how do we get a well-rounded, complete protein that can give a complete spectrum of amino acids and mitigate some of those digestive issues? But wanted to specifically address your question, one of the reasons you shouldn't have a problem with Plant Fusion and any of the products we have is that we always put additional enzymes in the product. And we recommend that for anybody who's ingesting proteins, even big, heavy meals around Thanksgiving, holidays, so forth, it's good to take extra digestive enzymes to just help support and break down protein in particular, because they do tend to just have a more difficult, they tend to be harder to digest or break down and create more of that gas and bloating. But we always add enzymes. That's one issue. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing, one reason why you probably didn't experience a problem. Another thing that's unique about Plant Fusion relative to most and many other plant proteins is we don't use rice. And so rice although it can be a good source of protein, it first of all, the taste and texture that may have been a little unsettling for you. Mm-hmm. Rice protein is very bitter. It's typically very grainy and granular. Doesn't have a very good, what I would say, texture to it. And that causes a lot of problems for people just in terms of the experience. They just don't enjoy it, right? Even if it goes down in their stomach well, they don't enjoy the experience because it is so gritty and granular. So that's another issue. We always add enzymes and we never put any rice protein in there. And that's one of the most common sources of plant protein out there.
And rice contains sometimes more lead, which I'm also very concerned about because whey seemingly has almost nothing. And when anything's grown from the earth, you have some possibility of small amounts of that. And, you know, tiny amounts, yes, is cumulative, but we have to deal with what we have to deal with. And because of the massive amount of requests for plant protein, because of evidence that does suggest that it may help us to be healthier on levels because we need to add more plant-based foods to our diet, real foods, not processed, there's a huge influx of people who just want the plant-based protein. And I'm perfectly fine with that. I mean, we really try hard to carry the very cleanest of products, but even the cleanest of some of our plant proteins still can cause a little grief in the digestive tract. And again, digestive enzymes, which we sell a tremendous amount of for everybody sometimes past 25 years old, they help your body to do what it's supposed to do if it was optimal. And that is take big pieces of food, molecules, protein, fats, and carbs, and break them down into the individual components so the body, the gut, the blood, everything, the liver can all use it, process it, turn it into what we are, into the many multiple levels of, you know, body chemicals that make us who we are and fuel our body. And so I want we needed this really desperately is a plant protein that is low in lead. This is it. And also functioning as a whole food, because I won't call whey protein a whole food. It's a food, and I like it, but it's not what I would call a whole food. The plant-based proteins would be more of that. And because you've also added what we call some other amino acids. And again, amino acids, when you take a protein, you break it down to in its smallest individual components, there's these things called amino acids. Well, they have to be complete in order to create a protein that's usable. And if you just ate rice as a food, you're not going to have that. You just ate beans as food, you won't have that. But when you combine foods, you can, but it's still not super efficient. But you made it super efficient by adding other amino acids, didn't you?
That's right, that we did. And I'll just, one thing I want to touch on is the comment about rice and heavy metals, and you're absolutely right. And I'll just so you know, the we don't, by not using rice, we not only avoid that gritty granular flavor, but we also really mitigate the amount of heavy metals. And two of the issues with rice are, one, because it, like you said, it's grown actually in water very close to the ground, so it's going to naturally absorb more minerals. But a lot of the world's rice supply also comes from countries where there are some really serious environmental concerns, and which magnifies those issues, where you just don't have the cleanliness of the soil, the water, et cetera, and that just enhances those issues. So it's not an opinion, it's a fact that rice does have many more heavy metals in it than really any other source of protein I'm aware of. I'm not aware of every one of them, but by far it's the one of the most dense. And keep in mind that when we take any plant, right, and we concentrate it down, or anything, whey, and we concentrate it down to enhance the protein level or concentration, which is what we do with pea and rice and amaranth and so forth, you also wind up concentrating other things that are in there at times. And that's why it's also a bigger issue in rice protein. And let's say if we were just having a good plate, a healthy plate of brown rice with a good healthy meal, our concern wouldn't be as much because we're getting, like you said earlier, a whole food. We're not concentrating down other unwanted components maybe of that rice at that point. So we're not saying rice is bad. Brown rice is a great complex carbohydrate, just like whole grains are, but taken in that form as a protein, it can be an issue for that reason. But back to your point about the amino acids, I think that one of the genesis of the product was, first, how do we get a good allergen-free protein, right? That was one of the first parts. Then how do we also get it as close to an animal-based protein as possible, like a whey protein, which is a great source of protein? And so there were two things we did. One was we added other, I'll say, plant or vegetable-based proteins, because with any, you actually kind of just touched on this before, if you get a good cross-section of different sources of protein, you're inherently going to get a more complete protein or amino acid profile, right? Because not every plant and every source of even animal-based proteins are going to have the same exact ratios of these amino acids. And that's why it's important to eat various sources of protein in general, not just one source all the time. What we did was, in addition to adding additional plant-based ingredients to the plant fusion product, in addition to pea is one of the primary sources, was we did add those, what we call the branched chain amino acids, which I'm sure you've talked about before, and I know you're well aware of them, and it's leucine, isoleucine, and valine. And those are three of those BCAAs, as they're often referred to, they're very common. They used to be very common just for sports nutrition advocates, you know, people that were working out, exercising like you, competing, et cetera. By the way, Ed, I can't even believe you're competing. You look great. I always knew you were in shape. I didn't realize you were going through a competition. So congratulations.
Thank you.
And best of luck to you on that. But I think you'll find that BCAAs have been a staple for those that are very interested in building body muscle mass. And I think, as you know, it's changed from people like you that might want to take a lot of BCAAs to help increase your muscle mass to people that are sarcopenia, which is the breakdown of muscle as we all get older. That's become a major concern, right? And it's an issue that wasn't even on the mainstream's healthcare spectrum. It wasn't even on their line of sight going back 20 years ago. And now it's very commonly diagnosed. And it's one of the reasons why they'll say even somebody who is elderly, may not even be physically fit, just lift some weights, right, to help mitigate sarcopenia. It also helps build and mitigate osteoporosis. So we've learned over the last 20 years or so that all these things are critical. And adding and having a complete protein, which means a well-rounded source of all these protein sources, including BCAAs, is critical. So to your point, we added additional amino acids, leucine, isoleucine, and valine, to make it so that the protein rate or the amino acid ratio, to your point earlier, is very, very similar. So just as a simple example, these are average numbers because natural variations occur. But for instance, if you looked at in a really critical BCAA, branched chain amino acid like isoleucine, the average whey supplement might have as much as close to 1,490 milligrams of isoleucine, where a plant fusion would have 1,480. So it's literally only 10 milligrams off. Conversely, you could have a little bit more valine in a plant fusion supplement than you might have, but they're very close. I mean, you're splitting hairs when you look at the doses, but the bottom line is it's a very complete source and gives, we also use a vegan source of these amino acids for those who are vegan or concerned about not having animal-based products, because that's one of the reasons people take a plant protein. So yeah, we're passionate about trying to make it as close and as equivalent to an animal-based protein and give those who choose to live either a plant-based diet, a vegan diet, there could be even religious restrictions or other things that causes them not to want to have an animal-based product, but it comes as close as we could possibly get it to that, so you can get a very, what they call, complete protein.
I love that. And rarely do I do a podcast where we just really focus on a product. It's more about empowering with just more information about lifestyle. But on this case, I felt it was important because one is I've really kind of steered away from plant-based proteins. And I think that's unfair to the public. If they're asking my opinion, I've been saying, no, you just need to do whey. You just need to do whey. Well, that's not really respecting the people who want plant-based, who maybe religion, maybe just sensitivities, this, that, and whatever. And I wanted something to offer that was making up for the weaknesses that I have seen in most plant-based proteins. And it sounded like your plant fusion has done that quite well. Again, I go back to right now, my hero of probably 2024 is Dr. Peter Attia in his book Outlive. The reason that so much he deals with sarcopenia, which is loss of muscle, it occurs starting about 35 years old, and we start losing 1% to 2%. You don't see that at 40 and 45. You start seeing it about 50 in most cases. One of the primary relationships between your body and your mortality is the loss of muscle. I mean, that's why when they test people's hand grip strength, there's a direct correlation to how long you will live. Well, it's not really about hand grip. It's about how much muscle have you lost, because you can't, you know, if you lose 50% of it from the age of 35 to 60, you're not looking too good. But you can maintain that through two things. One is doing weight training. And secondly, is consuming protein. And those branched-chain aminos, people who don't know about it, those are the king players on muscle recuperation. They really are. And I actually don't take any extra branched-chain because I just do whey. But, I mean, even this morning at the gym, a guy was drinking his drink, and I said, yeah, I'm doing my branched-chain aminos after my workout because it's so common. But this is important for senior citizens who are playing pickleball. I don't care what you do. And aging alone, we're fighting the ravages of Father Time. I mean, Father Time put us on this earth for one single reason, that is to procreate, that is to extend this species. Well, guess what? Past 35 years old, we're pretty disposable to Father Time. So we have to come up with a plan of action to create this centenarian decathlon that if you don't do it, I mean, it's never too late to do it. First off, I'll say that. You could do it at 70, but it's better to do it the earlier parts of the scheme. And part of this will have to be consuming minimum 1/2 gram of protein per pound of body weight. To me, ideally, get close to 3/4 to 1 gram. I weigh 175 pounds. I've tried to consume 175 grams of protein on most of my times. I'm going to do a little bit more for this contest, but you don't need that. But somewhere, you know, getting close to your body weight, you cannot do that without a drink, in my opinion. We're not going to be eating that much food to probably do that. So I do a protein drink every single morning, and I do add a few things to it like psyllium and MCT oil. I do that every morning, and green matcha powder. Those are the four things I put in there.
Yeah.
And it works very well. It gives me the energy I need for the gym. I get up very, very early. And there's nothing that can replace the protein. And people who start the day with carbohydrates, I'm sorry to say, you will raise your insulin, which means your body fat will go up. And everything starts cascading downward when you have elevated insulin levels. I'm not talking glucose. I'm talking insulin. So I do almost no carbs in the morning. And to do that, you got to have a protein, and I mix it in water. But I like the taste. I tasted your protein at the show in Florida, and it did very well. Now, again, let's repeat. What are the sources of your protein?
Pea, amaranth, quinoa, and we use a little bit of artichoke. And so those are the main sources of the protein. And we have some products that you mentioned, coconut before, where there's obviously a little bit of naturally occurring in there. And we're actually working on a product that I don't know if we'll be able to develop it, but chickpea is becoming a very attractive source as well, because it also that also has a different amino acid profile, but we don't have any of that. You know, like you, I do a lot of work on the ingredient side and the research side, and actually have traveled all over the world looking at different ingredient sources, and we're hoping to continue to find additional plant-based sources that offer that complete mix. But in the meantime, right now, it's artichoke, quinoa, and amaranth along with the pea. The pea is also, just so people know in terms of sourcing of ingredients, most peas are grown in Canada and Northern Europe. The climates there are, first of all, the general environment there is very good. And most of the peas grown in the world, obviously, other than being used in the food source, peas have always been a really good source for fiber and starch that's used in other applications like noodles in Asia and so forth. So part of the processing of the pea protein, the raw material, comes from companies that were already extracting the pea and using some of the starch for other food applications around the world globally. And this became a great outsource or place and a usage for the protein output that they would have as they would take a pea and start to extract it down into its different macronutrients. Interestingly enough, also, you're talking about the benefit of protein and take it in the morning. You're spot on. The science is overwhelming that everything from mental focus, acuity, all those things, by starting your day off with a high protein breakfast, regardless of the source of that protein, is critical. And it's interesting because one of the products that you carry there in your store, and I'm not trying to be solicitous or sell, but it was interesting, but one of the genesis of it, it's a product called Inspire that you have there in your store, and it also has branched chain amino acids in the product. But that product is designed for women. So, well, why is it designed for women? Well, number one, a lot of women are looking for a source of protein. Mm-hmm. And they're looking at a lot of women disproportionately buy plant protein because generally speaking, and a lot of women really complain about the issue of gas and bloating. Men tend to not have as much of a concern about it, whereas for women, that's a much more sensitive issue and they're much more aware of it. So that's one part of the product. But the interesting thing about Inspire is that it was designed by a woman named Jennifer Cooper, who's a well-known research scientist in the industry. And her position was, I'm a scientist and I'm a woman. The number one issue that I have to deal with as a woman is hormone issues. And I, the way I feel, the way I think, the way I look at the world even is affected by how my hormones are balanced. Mm-hmm. She said the two things that I can do besides supplements and other things to help balance hormones that I can take control of in my life to help manage my hormones in the beginning of the day is one, exercise. And two, start with a high protein diet. So it doesn't matter who the person is. It doesn't matter if they're very young and just started the menstrual cycle. It doesn't matter if they're older and going through menopause and everything in between. That's the number one. That's her advice as a clinician, as a person who really has studied the science on it. And as a woman, she's like, if I exercise and I take protein in the morning, I know I've given myself the best jumpstart. Doesn't mean I'm not going to have problems. It doesn't mean there aren't issues I'm still going to have, but I will mitigate them to whatever degree I would have if I hadn't done those two things. So, and that's what the product Inspire is designed around, which is just, again, I'm not trying to sell the product, but just share with everybody that there are products out there like this. Protein is not just for people that want to be fit and look great on the beach. Protein is for all of us, as we've talked about, and it's everybody from older generations that might be running the risk of sarcopenia to women who are just dealing with very normal hormonal issues throughout the course of their whole life, let alone the course of a monthly cycle and other things that they very often deal with.
I am so glad you brought that up because I had actually failed to remember that I had really looked at that product when I was at the convention in Florida. And it is so well put together for a category that some women don't feel comfortable in. Like, you know, a woman there who's 45 years old standing next to a bodybuilder, they're going to grab the same protein. Well, there's something mental about that because I want something specific for my needs. And I just love the fact that you have that product because, and like that researcher said, I feel exactly the same way. When I arm myself, which I get up at 3:12 every morning. Don't ask me why 12, but 3:12 every morning. I drink my drink about 3:40. I'm at the gym at 4:30. It is the game changer for me. It almost doesn't matter too much. I'm not going to crash my day the rest of the day, probably due to anything and other mistakes I make. If I can do that solid protein in the morning, the way that I've got it figured out for myself, I can't lose. But if I don't start it correctly, which I do this drink 6 days a week, 1 day a week, I will eat eggs and some very healthy meats that we sell at Nutrition World, some sausage and things from local farms. But the other 6 days, it's going to be the drink. And it has served me better than any choices I have made in my almost 67 years. And I just recommend it totally. I talk about it on all the podcasts, all the YouTube, all my radio show, Vital Health radio show. And I just can't say enough about it because, again, and women, don't worry. Oh, I don't want to get bulky. It's not going to happen. It is a kind of an old, you know, kind of worry rumor, but it doesn't happen. If it did, a lot of women would want that because some women want to be muscular and big. It's not going to happen, but it can help you to sometimes lean out and it certainly feel better and all of that. So this has been extremely informative. I personally have been certainly convinced that it's time to take a drive down the plant-based protein aisle now instead of the whey protein aisle totally. And I will be endorsing it and giving kudos to Let's Try It. I think it's wonderful. I don't probably get enough plant-based foods in my diet. This would fill a little box for me by adding plant-based into it. I am probably more loyal to whey than I am anything else, but I will be going back and forth between your plant-based protein and the whey protein depending on what I want to do, because I do two protein drinks a day. So I did one before coming down here at 1 o'clock, and I do one at breakfast. So my plan is to do the plant fusion at 1 o'clock, and I'll do my whey at breakfast, and that's going to work real well for me, and it has worked. I've already done one.
Well, that's a great way to do it. It's funny, we talk so much about taking in the morning, but you just hit on a great issue, which is the afternoon.